always get the deed and have your name or your company name on the deed. That puts you in 100% in control. But think about this. Why would you go fix up a property that you don't own? That is when you are buying.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Hello, fellow investors. Mike Butler here, and welcome to the 5-Hour Real Estate Week podcast. And today's episode is going to be Contract for Deeds, Land Contracts 101. And there's a lot of things that folks should understand. And before you jump on these things that sound cool and slick and it'll make your life simpler. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about contract for deeds. We're going to talk about the land contracts, and we're going to touch on a little bit on options. And I want you, for starters, here's our foundation. Every real estate transaction has two parties. And you got a buyer and you have a seller. So let's break this down into each little section there. So for example, let's take a look when you're buying. Now, contract for deed, land contracts, they were used very frequently years and years ago, especially when I got started. So as a new investor myself, I was doing the BRRRR method before BRRRR was cool. And why did I pursue that? Why did I use contract for deeds? Because I was able to buy properties that way from, let's say, 5-star integrity, high quality, ethical, high integrity investors, and they would sell it to me contract for deed. Now, contract for deed and a land contract is basically the same thing, and I didn't get into the definition of it, but basically it's an agreement that somebody spells out, maybe your attorney, or you could probably find one you can steal and paste and use, but it's a fill in the blank form to where you agree to sell someone this property for this amount of money. And here's how they're going to pay for it. They're going to pay you so much a month or borrow at such and such interest rate, blah, 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 blah. Basically, it's kind of like a promissory note for buying real estate. However, your buyer does not get the deed until the contract for deed is paid in full, or the land contract, depending on where you live and what region of the country you're in. Contract for deed, land contract, basically both the same thing. And for IRS purposes, this is what's called a installment sale. So you're not getting cash for the property, you're seller financing it to your buyer. Now, I'm going to give you this warning several times, and I want you to etch this in stone. Never, ever offer any kind of seller financing whatsoever to an owner occupant. That will get you in trouble faster than anything else. And keep in mind now, the tax laws and 120,000 new IRS agents, blah, 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 blah. That's all pending, but that's being proposed right now. So we're going to touch on options a little bit because they come into play here too, because that's going to be your solution for some of the problems that you're going to get exposed to here in the next few minutes. So every real estate transaction, let's lay the foundation. Every real estate transaction has two parties. Basically, you got a buyer and you have a seller. So that's who is involved. So let's take a look at the buying side. When you, the investor, are going to buy a property, how does a contract for deed or land contract come into play? Well, years ago, that was okay. That was normal. That was accepted. And as a new investor, I was doing the BRRRR method before BRRRR was cool like it is today. And that's exactly what I was doing. And so one of the things I did, and I was very, very lucky because I did not know the risk. I did not know the pros and cons, the do's and don'ts. I got lucky and happened to bump into an ethical, high integrity investor who would sell me a property or two here or there. And I would say this, 3 of my first 5 houses, rental houses that I bought contract for deed. And I just thought that was the best way to acquire properties and all this and that, because the lender, the banks back then, they would accept a contract for deed as me owning the property. And so then I could qualify for a refinance. So that allowed me to do the cash out refinance. However, I was clueless, clueless on all the risk associated with contract for deed land contract. So I'm going to tell you this right now. Never, ever, ever buy a property using the seller's contract for deed or land contract. Just don't do it. There's too many risks. And let me tell you something here. Here's a Greg Wendt story. And Greg Wendt, a super good guy. He had his own painting company. And let me tell you what happened to Greg with a less than ethical veteran, been around the block investor. So the investor, and this all happened at our local RIA group. That's how they got introduced to each other. And I didn't find out about this until it was too late. Then he calls me. So the investor had a duplex that was beat all to hell, was not livable. So maybe he had tenants in there. They moved out. The place, it's not rentable. It's not livable because it's dirty, filthy, ugly, all this and that. So this investor hooks up with Greg. He has his own painting business, one man, self-employed company there, but I'm sure he had other painter helpers. So this investor crafts a deal with Greg to buy this property, contract for deed. And so Greg thought he could use this avenue to acquire the property, go in there and fix it all up. And then he was going to do like the Burr method, fix it all up, put tenants in it, then go get a cash out refi to pay off the investor that financed him short term like that. So here's what happened. So here's poor old Greg. He goes to the equivalent of Home Depot back in the day and the others, and he maxes out all his credit cards for materials to buy and fix up the duplex that he's buying from this investor. So Greg maxes out his Visa card, his MasterCard, his Home Depot card account, his Lowe's account, all this and that, his paint store account. So he maxes all those things out. Then he gets them rented, puts tenants in there. Now it's producing money. And then he goes to, at that time, it was probably Fifth Third Bank or Cumberland Bank. I'm not sure, but Fifth Third bought out Cumberland Bank in my town. And so then he goes and sees a loan officer and he wants to do a refi and cash out, get all his money back, pay off all his credit cards. Bingo. He's got his first rental property. He was so excited and so pumped up. So he applies for the loan. He pays the application fee. He pays the money for the appraisal and all the upfront costs that are required to get an investor loan from this bank. So everything's going through. It's looking good. His loan got approved. And so then he calls the investor and says, "Hey, Mr. Investor or Miss Investor, my loan's got approved. I just wanted to give you a heads up. We're going to be closing here in about 2 weeks, maybe a little sooner. And thanks again for helping me out here and helping me get my first rental property." Well, the investor never returned Greg's call. In fact, just as soon as Greg called the investor, letting them know that they're going to be closing in a couple of weeks, here's what that investor did. That investor went over to the duplex, knocked on apartment one, and told them, "Hey, Greg was fixing this place up. He's a contractor. He's a painter. You pay me the rent. You don't pay Greg." Okay. And then they did that on apartment number two. So now the tenants are paying the investor who gave Greg the contract for deed. They're paying the investor because that investor went over and showed him the deed, said he doesn't even own this property. I do. And he never called Greg. Now, you're going to have some gurus that are going to jump up and down and say, "Yeah, but he's got a contract for deed. That's legal." Yeah, it's legal. So what if he's got a contract for deed? So what if it's legal? How's he going to fix it? Think about that. How's he going to fix it? He's going to have to go to court, get an attorney, go sue the investor, blah, 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 blah. None of that is free. He's going to have attorney bills at the yin yang. Now step back and look at the 30,000 foot view. Greg has already maxed out his Home Depot account, his Lowe's account, his paint store account, all his credit cards. You see where I'm going with this? Plus he probably paid help. All of those bills are going to be coming in and he's got to make those payments. Guess what? He doesn't have the income to make those kind of payments. Pretty frustrating, isn't it? That investor ignored Greg, never called him. Greg had to go to court on it. And you know what? Greg ended up filing bankruptcy because of it. Isn't that a sad story? And then so Greg looked me up. We did a coaching session. He says, "Mike, I should have called you first." And so that's a huge lesson learned. And I don't want to see you or any of your family members or friends get into any kind of pickle like that. And the best way to avoid that is prevent it from happening. So no more contract for deeds or land contracts when you're the buyer. If you can get someone to do that, you want to always get the deed. Always get the deed and have your name or your company name on the deed. That puts you in 100% in control. But think about this. Why would you go fix up a property that you don't own? Huh. Interesting, isn't it? So that is when you are buying. You can do short-term seller financing, but I recommend that you have a real true blue closing, get title insurance, and make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's so that you're protected. And so let's avoid you or anybody from doing the Greg Wendt story there. Now, got a little thing we're interjecting here today. We got today's sponsor is TrusteeServicesUSA.com. And you can check this out. It keeps your name and your company name off public records. Forget this, your real estate, your vehicles, and more. If you want more information on that, go to TrusteeServicesUSA.com. All right, let's move into part two. Now, this is when you're selling a property. Remember, we have two parties. We got the buyer and we have the seller, two parts of a real estate transaction. So rule number one, when you're selling, never, ever, ever offer any kind of seller financing to an owner-occupant. Just etch that in stone, tattoo it on your forehead backwards. Never, ever do that. The only time that I will approve of you doing any kind of seller financing is to an investor, non-owner-occupant. In fact, when I do that, we've got a one-page form that specifically says they are not an owner-occupant and they don't intend to be an owner-occupant. That's how powerful that is. So back to the contract for deed. Contract for deed, the land contract. Think about this. I used to say it was okay to sell contract for deed because remember when I got started, the old men that I would buy houses from and do the contract for deed, they were good people. They weren't out to screw anybody or this and that. So I trusted them naively. I mean, I had myself wide open and didn't know it. But think about this. If you're going to sell a property using a land contract for deed, installment sale is the type of sale that would be for the IRS. Think about this. That property's still in your name. It's in your name or your company name. So what if they get cold housing violations, cold enforcement violations, liens, all kinds of stuff that you're not in control of, but yet you're liable? And get this, on top of that, because you're seller financing it to your buyer, to your investor buyer, you cannot evict them. You have to foreclose. And you know what? To foreclose, that doesn't happen in the smaller, cheaper baby court. That has to go upstairs where the bigger courts are. Call it Superior Court, Circuit Court, whatever you want. It just costs a lot more money. It costs thousands. And they can file bankruptcy on you. And you might be in a position where you don't get any payments for over 2 years. So remember, a buyer and a seller, it takes two people to make that transaction. I'm going to say this, never, ever, ever do any kind of seller financing, okay? Especially to owner-occupants, which would also be called a tenant buyer. You're not going to do that. I've got a way where you can protect yourself and make this better. So let's replace, when you're the seller, let's replace contract for deed land contract. Replace it with option to buy. Now, the sexy slang buzzword in today's market is rent to own. So you're going to replace it with option to buy. And guess what? They're a tenant and they have an option to purchase your property at a set price for a set period of time. Okay. That's what the option fee is for. That's what you're selling them. And then if they default, you can evict them and not foreclose. And you can do this. I do this all the time with tenant wannabe buyers. And the option fee doesn't have to be much. So you can't have a house that has an ARV of $100,000. And take a $50,000 option fee. That ain't going to fly in court. You're going to have to give that back to them. But we'll get into more. We'll do another episode just on options by itself. So if you replace the contract for deed and land contract with option to buy, lease option. You might heard that. Well, guess what? You can do that with owner occupants. You can do that with tenant and wannabe buyers. You can do that with investors, and it keeps you in control, and you don't have to do the foreclosure process there. So think about those two things and think about the risks, the pros and cons, the do's and don'ts on contract for deed, land contracts versus why would you want to put all kinds of skeletons in your closet, so to speak, either when buying or selling using contract for deed and land contract when you have better alternatives that's going to protect you better and protect you more. And that's awesome. So let me go back. I just thought of one other thing I want to add to the selling aspect. So if you do rent with option to buy, even if your tenant wannabe buyer or your investor that you're doing this deal with, if they file bankruptcy, especially a tenant wannabe buyer, they will not list you as a creditor. They will continue paying rent. Why? Because they don't want to get tossed out on the street. Whereas if you're doing a contract for deed land contract seller financing to forbid the tenant buyer, they can file bankruptcy on you. And once again, no more payments for 2 years. So you got to think about that. And now when I mentioned the word option in there, you got to think about this. If you're thinking about being a private lender, or hard money lender, or doing anything like that, you're going to only loan money to investors. And that's going to be another whole episode just on that. So with that, guys, we're going to wrap this up. I went a little bit over, but a lot of folks use these things to acquire properties. And I just want you to know the ins and outs, the skeletons in the closet. What are the landmines that are out there that could bite you in the butt? And don't forget the Greg Winch story. Get out there and make some offers. Make it happen. See you on the next one. Adios.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.